The Lord be with you.
With
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart from them by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no whitener on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. This last week and a half, our country has been trying to recover from that terrible massacre of 17 people, teens and adults, at that high school in South Florida. I'm sure you know the story, and I'm sure you've heard the many stories after that, including the way those courageous young people have gone out to confront and question some of the government leaders about gun violence. But there's one aspect to that tragedy that the media didn't cover, and I guess we couldn't expect them to. And that is, where are those 17 now? What are they experiencing? We could not expect anyone to address that, of course, because it's a question no one is really prepared to address except the gospel. And especially today's gospel, in the story you just heard, the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. If we take a closer look at the story, I hope you understand what I mean. We read the story of the transfiguration of Jesus every second Sunday in Lent, each time from a different evangelist. This time it's from the Gospel of Mark, and Mark has a very unique vision of the transfiguration. Mark emphasizes something very special about Jesus in the way he portrays the story. But it's important to know that just before this story, there was another story in Mark, the story about Jesus shocking his apostles. In this story, Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And then more directly, he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And it is Peter who blurts out with great faith, "You are the Christ, the Messiah." And that's when Jesus shocks them by telling them that he must suffer much from the chiefs and the high priests and the scribes and then be put to death. And then he says, after 3 days, be raised from the dead. They didn't seem to hear the last part. They were so shocked about the part about his being killed. That's not supposed to happen to a Messiah. A Messiah is supposed to be victorious and triumphant. A Messiah is supposed to conquer everybody. It's no wonder then that they were in shock. But God had something in store for them, and it happened about 6 days later. That's when Jesus took three of them up to a mountaintop and began to pray, and that's when it happened. Mark describes it briefly. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart from themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no whitener on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. We need to unpack that. Just what happened? That word transfigured, which Mark uses, means a total change, becoming something that one was not before. It means that suddenly Jesus was transformed into that glorious state of being that would await him after his resurrection and would appear again as he would appear again at the end of the world. He was transformed into that glorious Messiah that the Jewish people were expecting. And that glory permeated his garments so that they were shining with brilliant light. The apostles also saw Elijah and Moses, whom Jewish tradition said would be present with the Messiah at the end of the world. So it's no wonder the apostles were terrified. And then just as suddenly, everything changed back. Jesus told the apostles not to tell anyone until after his resurrection because nobody would understand it until then. Now, 2,000 years later, can we understand it? Can we try and understand what it means for us today, especially after there's so much violence and terrorism and killings all over the world, and especially in our own country? I think that is the key. Just as the transfiguration of Jesus gave the apostles some insight into the glory of Jesus after his death, I think it gives you and me some insight into the glory that, for instance, those 17 who were murdered are now experiencing after their deaths. What must it be for them to be in the presence of God? What must it be for them to experience that warm, loving, all-embracing compassion of the Father? What must it be for them to be experienced by Jesus himself, one whom they could recognize as one like themselves? What must it be for them to be free of pain, free of tension and fear, and be overwhelmed with a sense of joy and peace and exhilaration in the presence of God? To be transfigured. And in the presence of all their families and relatives who welcomed them, in the presence of all those saints who had gone through suffering like they did, what must it be for them to know that there's no longer any time, no bells or watches or calendars, only an overwhelming sense of freedom and life and joy that they had never experienced before? They are clothed in light and in a sense even have become light. Some of the memorials set up for them represent them as 17 angels transfigured or resplendent in light. My clumsy words can't even begin to imagine what their experience must be now and forever. Someday that will also be true of you and me. That's a promise of the transfiguration of Jesus. But for now, just as the transfiguration gave such hope to Jesus as he faced his suffering, it should be able to give us some hope and strength in the face of the tragedies that we face in our life. But tomorrow's Monday, back to work, back to school, back to the life, whatever it is for each of us as we know it, and back to the grieving of loved ones all over the world. But for those who've heard this story today, maybe it can be a little different. Maybe the transfiguration of Jesus, a story told 2,000 years ago, will bring some hope to us 2,000 years later. Hope in a God who brings life out of death. And may that hope lead us to action. The gospel said, the voice from the cloud said, "Listen to him." And Paul said, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Or as our final prayer will say today, "We thank you, O Lord, for allowing us on earth to be partakers even now of the things of heaven." May God in this Eucharist help each one of us know how to respond to the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. Amen.